In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This feast of the Annunciation is the feast of the good news of the Gospel. It's the celebration of the reality that in Christ, death is no more. It's the proclamation that the conqueror, the King of all, has come. He's come and has established his kingdom. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. We hear from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews today about this proclamation and this reality that we celebrate, and how it has to do with death. And we could say very simply, we could put it like this: Christ comes into the world in order to die. Why must he die? In order to defeat death. In order to defeat the devil. And when he defeats the devil and defeats death, what does that accomplish for us? It releases us from bondage. Bondage to whom? To the devil. And why were we in bondage? Because, as St. Paul says, we were through fear of death subject to bondage. Through fear of death. So he says, he came that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So Christ comes into the world to die in order to defeat death, in order to set us free from bondage to the devil, and we were in bondage because we were afraid of death. It's kind of like a vicious circle that the Lord enters into and breaks, so it doesn't have to continue anymore. And the fathers of the church interpret this. St. Maximus the Confessor, for example, reads this and says, aha, why do we sin? Because of the fear of death. Very interesting. Of course, sin entered in because of the devil teaching us, instructing us to disobey God, to be full of pride, to be full of ego, to think we can do it our own way. But then once it enters in, it's perpetuated through fear. Through fear, you see. We're always afraid. And out of our fear, we act in sinful ways. But Christ destroys that vicious cycle. He comes and enters in and sets us free from bondage. Now, in what ways does the fear of death lead us to sin? In what ways? In many ways. I mean, there are more obvious ways, you know. We're afraid of the coronavirus or whatever it is. We're afraid of dying. And so we become panicky. We forget God, and instead we're thinking about, oh, you know, what's the science on this, and how can we deal with it, and what's the solution, and all of these things. And instead of praying, we're focused elsewhere. Or we become greedy and selfish because other people are taking all of the food or all of the toilet paper or whatever it is, and we become, panicky. Or it might be, you know, that we're afraid of financial collapse. We're afraid that, you know, we might have to face financial ruin, that we'll be impoverished, that, we won't have basic necessities, things like this. Well, it's the fear of death. What else is the fear of poverty but the fear of death? That's what it is, you know. And the fear of suffering, which is connected to death, the fear of not having enough, to having to go without. We don't like that idea. And so it can drive us to a kind of frenzy. It can drive us to do immoral things, to hurt each other, you know, to become violent with each other because we're afraid. This is what the devil wants. This is why he tries to perpetuate the fear of death. And this is what Christ is coming to set us free from. But you know, the fear of death can also be the fear of the death of the ego. You know, our ego wants to promote itself all the time, because it's afraid of somehow losing its grasp, losing its hold on life, losing somehow control, because it's deluded into believing that it has control. So our ego is afraid of dying. So it's always promoting itself. It's always belittling others so that it can feel better. It's always drawing attention to itself. It's always, you know, trying to impress others. That's what the ego does out of its fear of death. But from all of this, we must be set free. And Christ comes precisely to do that. And in whom do we see this setting free most perfectly after Christ? Well, in none other than in the Theotokos, the Mother of God. In her, we see an overcoming of the fear of death, an overcoming in particular of this fear of death as it manifests itself in the ego. Because in her, after Christ, we see the human being who in the history of the world has been most humble. We see one who's able to respond to the Lord, the word of the Lord, with this simple and childlike, innocent and pure response. Be it unto me according to your word. Well, what happens? The Archangel Gabriel comes to her. But according to the tradition of the church, she wasn't just twiddling her thumbs when the Archangel Gabriel showed up. She was reading the prophecy of Isaiah. She was reading about how a virgin would conceive and bear a child. And his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. She was pondering these things. She understood from her childhood about the fact that the Messiah would come, that a king would come, who would be established, who would be seated on the throne of David, who would rule over the household of Jacob. Of his kingdom there would be no end. She understood all of these things, just like we heard in the book of Hebrews, these realities about the coming one. And she so deeply longed to behold that day and to experience it and to participate in it. And in her humility, what she prayed to the Lord was, "Oh Lord, if only I could be the handmaiden of that blessed virgin. If only I could serve her, be near to her, you know, somehow, at least from a distance, participate in that most blessed event." She didn't even conceive of the idea of herself being the one, the virgin, who would give birth to the Savior. No, she just wanted somehow to be able to see her, to be near her, to feel her presence, and of course, to be near when that child would be born. And so, God foresaw that incredible depth of humility in her, and when the archangel came, he found her in this reflection, and he said, "No, not just the handmaiden of the virgin, but the very virgin herself. Rejoice, O blessed one, full of grace. The Lord is with you." With you, with thee. So we see in her this incredible humility that already she had learned to die to her ego. She had rejected that voice of pride in the ego. She had put it aside so that it had no hold over her, so that she was not in bondage, so that she was not afraid of the ego dying. She was ready for it to be obliterated. She had no desire to control things. She had no desire to grasp or to hoard for herself or to grab attention for herself. She was happy living alone in the temple, nobody seeing her, nobody knowing anything about her life. That was her joy, to be alone with the Lord, you see. But God chose her because he chooses that kind of humility. That desire to be with him and not to please or to impress anybody else. So this is what drew God's grace to her. And the Lord raised her up, this most humble one, to be the one through whom salvation would come into the world. And of course, in her innocence, in her virginal purity, she can't understand how this could be. How can it be? I've never known a man. How can it be? I know that I'm innocent, that I'm pure. How could this be? She's simply asking, because this is something that's inconceivable. It's something that doesn't happen. It's something that, scientifically speaking, there's no basis for. But of course, the archangel explains. It's very simple, you see. These beautiful words. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he mentions Elizabeth. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. And then these words, for with God nothing will be impossible. For with God nothing will be impossible. Scientifically speaking, impossible. You know, if you want to, you know, take it into a laboratory and put it on in a petri dish and cut it up and dissect it and try to understand it, it's impossible. Scientifically speaking. But with God, the one who is the author of all of creation, the one who created the world with its laws of physical laws and so on, you know, that science attempts to study. In other words, the one without whom science wouldn't exist, without whom there wouldn't be anything to study. That one can do anything he wants. Our God can do anything he wants. He's all powerful, and with him nothing will be impossible. So this is what Archangel Gabriel says to her, and she simply receives it with childlike faith. She knows that's true. As soon as she hears those words, they resonate within her, and there is not even a shadow of doubt that with God this will be possible. And so she responds out of that humility and out of that faith. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And that was it. At that instant, she conceived. She heard the word of the Lord. She received it into herself. As St. Ephrem the Syrian says, she conceived through her ear. Eve conceived evil through her ear. You see, when the devil, the serpent, whispered, Eve, hath God said? She conceived doubt. She conceived the death of her faith, lack of trust in God, pride, all of the evils that follow from those things. But with the Theotokos, it was the reverse. She conceived through her ear the seed of faith, the seed of hope, the seed of joy, the seed of trust in God, the seed of righteousness, the holy seed, Christ, the one who would come to slay the serpent, the seed of Adam that would crush the head of the serpent, of the devil. So this is what we see with the Mother of God, how she's not in bondage to the fear of death, because she knows that her whole life, her whole being, her body and her soul and the whole world are within God's care, within His providence, and that with Him nothing shall be impossible. So there's no doubt, there's no confusion, there's simplicity and purity, a limpid, clear, illumined faith in Christ. So let us ask on this feast of the Annunciation, of the announcement of the great tidings, the joyful tidings of our salvation, let us ask that through the prayers of the Mother of God, through the power of her Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, through the providence of our Father who is without beginning, the Heavenly Father, God the Father, and in the grace of the Holy Spirit, we would be set free from all bondage to the fear of death, from all bondage to the enemy. We would be set free from that lifelong bondage that has kept us enslaved to evil, to sin. That we would be set free, and that in the place of that bondage, we would have complete and total childlike and humble faith in our God and in His power, which can deliver us, which can heal us, which can save us, which can grant us whatever we need. For with our God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen.